evening, all. Definitely good to see everyone out. Today, you know, as Brother John mentioned, today is what they term Super Bowl Sunday. Now, me, I like to think in practical terms. You know, the Bible says that none of us know when Jesus is coming back. Wouldn't it be ironic if he came back during the Super Bowl? Never know. Nobody's expecting him tonight. Definitely us Christians, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying good, wholesome entertainment, but I wonder how many times, how many folks he'd catch off guard if he came back tonight. So, just a little thought. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I won't be long tonight. Try not to be. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 14. And read down through verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. And it reads as such. As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now when you think of this word holy, most of us, even Christians in the truest sense, have let the religious world take this and run with it. You know, what would be your answer if somebody came up to you? Because this happened to me, and I kind of had to explain some stuff. And they say this, Brother Grady, are you holy and sanctified? You may say, yeah, but to them it means you're kicking over pews. You're speaking in tongues. You're doing all kind of things that, quote unquote, the world says is holy. Now, we see here that Peter encourages us to be ye holy, because he's holy and because God is holy. And it's something that we must do. Now, we sing a song. I failed to mention it. Asked Brother Jerry to sing it. But I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to teach my lesson for most of that tonight. Look at hymn number 388. Take time to be holy. Do this from time to time. But I just thought about it. Just mine wasn't working quite quick enough today. This evening. Take time to be holy. Then I'll make a few applications of how we do that. I also want to make the point, this is not something that we should run from. Because on the other end of the spectrum is, we don't want to be considered looking holier than thou. You ever heard that before? So that's got to be something that God requires us to do, because he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So it doesn't mean that you demonstrate that by sitting on a mountaintop with your legs crossed for 23 hours a day, chanting something and looking into a candle. It doesn't mean that when somebody mentions that, you fall out and somebody comes up, especially women, and put a sheet over you. Doesn't mean those things, but then it says, be ye holy for I am holy. Let's look at what the song said, because it ties into it. I'm just going to read a couple of stanzas of this, and then I'll make a few points and the lesson is yours. Stanza one says this, take time to be holy. Speak off with the Lord. And when you look at this particular hymn, that's one of the ways that we develop holiness in our life, our prayer life. Abide in him always. So it takes a consistent mindset to abide and walk with Christ in order to allow him to transform us and be holy like he is. And notice what it says after that. And feed on his word. How many folks that you may know, and again, this is not poking fun at anybody, but that definition of holiness does not include, not now a bit, as some of the old folks say of God's word. It's based on some feeling. It's based on some emotion, some act to determine their holiness. It says, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. What? Fellowship. John was talking about it earlier, and fellowship is so important. We ought to love being around one another. And that does not mean that you may like the same team I like or you like the same hobbies, but we have something in common, and that's Christ. That's something for us to be proud of. That's something for us to look forward to. I don't know about you, but anytime my brothers and sisters gather, I look forward to it. Because you don't know sometimes what that assembly does. You know, I tell folks who strayed away, I tell them two things when I try to encourage them to come back. I say, you need it, and I need it. Now, if you're going to rob yourself of blessings, that's okay, but don't rob me of my blessings when you're not there. And they're like, oh, I didn't know. Yes, that's what happens. We are members one of another. So it says, make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Because you're holy, you're reaching out to those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. Do you remember God in everything you do? Do you wake up in the morning if you're still working? Do you take him to your job with you? Or do you check him at the door when you leave your house? If you're not working, do you take him wherever you go during the day? Can folks tell that you're holy as you go about today? Or is it a situation where you're just holy when the church comes together? Take time to be holy. Let's look at stanza number 3. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. So holiness allows us to have some calm and peaceness in our life, peace in our life. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Now, does that not what 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says when it says, bring every thought under the subjection of God? Are you running your thoughts through Jesus? Are you running your thoughts and your emotions through God's word? Because that's how we clean it up. That's how we clean up our minds. That's how those thoughts that take us places we don't want to go, we bring them into captivity. So here, this song, this stanza is lining up with scripture. And then it says this. Thus be led by his spirit. Part of the reason God gives us the indwelling measure of the Holy Spirit is to help us be holy. It is a constraining measure in our lives. Now, we all have the ability to quench the spirit in our lives, which means is to lessen its influence, lessen its impact on our lives. But God gave us something that was a gift based on our obedience to the gospel that helps us and points us down the direction and becomes a constraining measure. When I think of constraining measures, those of you who raise cattle sometime, when you send them to that house, you know, you send them through this little narrow gate. I watched the movie on it, you know. Shoot, thank you. That's why I couldn't think of the name of it. A shoot. And they kind of go through that shoot, and they can't really get out. And I know sometimes that it won't to, and that's a whole other story. But you know, when you think about that straight and narrow, we need some bumper guards. We need some training wheels. It's not a shame to have training wheels if you're a Christian. Because maybe you just maybe just not ready to ride that bike with them training wheels off. It didn't take me long to ride a bike. I got to the point when I was younger riding a bike, the funnest thing for me was to wreck it. I got more fun out of wrecking bikes than I did riding. But that's just me and my brother cutting up. Nothing better than to wreck a bike. See what kind of damage you can do. See how far it throw you off. That's how crazy we were. See how far it throw you off of it. Not even thinking about injuries. But take time to be holy. Then it says this. His spirit, fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. One of the things that disqualifies us from serving God is that we are not trying to be holy. You know, I've heard brother, this coming to mind, brother Nathan say from time to time, one of the biggest hindrances of the gospel is folks who say one thing and live a different way. Take time to be holy. How do we take time? Just reviewing a little bit. We spend time with the Lord. The song I just went through says we abide in him always. How much time do we spend with Jesus alone? And I'm not talking about here. This is great when we spend time with Jesus. We know we do because it says, well, two or three are gathered in my name, damn in the midst. But how much private time do we spend with Jesus? How much time do we spend with him in prayer? How much time do we spend with him in thanksgiving? How much time do we spend with him making our requests known and doing our best to line up to his will? Prayer, as suggested by the song, says we ought to speak oft with the Lord. Don't treat him like a magic genie. The only time many of us need God is when we're in trouble or broke or somebody's sick. That's not the relationship he wants with us. Then it says, forgetting in nothing his blessings to seek. That's what the song says. So we seek his blessings. John read a great scripture this morning about tomorrow, if the Lord wills. And do we think about that from time to time? Is that so much on our minds that the forefront of our mind is, do we realize that we're not here, not promised tomorrow? But make today the best day. Are you doing the Lord's will today? That's what it means when it says, if the Lord wills. Doesn't mean that he's going to make you do anything, but our mindset should be do the Lord's will each and every day of our lives. Take time to be with the Lord. We cannot overestimate the importance of finding time to spend with God in your own personal time. Do we take time to be holy? This also includes fellowship with other Christians. Acts 2 and 42 says, the early Christians continued steadfastly in fellowship. Now, one of the things I would want us to do, one of our goals is find this year and from now on, is to find more opportunities to fellowship with one another. That's beautiful. Find time to fellowship. It should be important, as I said before, for you, but also for your brother or sister. It also helps to encourage faithfulness and steadfastness. You need to be accountable to somebody. See, God designed his body that way. Because there are some times when you and I just don't feel like it. Be honest with you. You don't always feel like worship. You don't always feel like it because things happen. You get tired, physically tired. Sometimes you're dealing with mental and emotional things. But that responsibility to one another helps us stay there and continue to go. And oftentimes what happens is, I don't know about you, but speaking for myself, those are the times that I feel most blessed. Those are the times that I value it the most. Because sometimes we justify other things that we could be doing and saying and want to do, and you're tired and got all these other things. But oftentimes in those moments, when I make the commitment to my brethren, I'm the one that gets blessed. But I also find out that somebody need to see my smile that day. Somebody need to hear my compliment that day. Somebody need to hear me say, hang in there. So we are important to one another. Take time to be holy. And then it says, serving our fellow men, those who are weak. This is something that we should be willfully looking to do. We could find opportunities to serve those around us. And that does not just include our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we ought to be willing to do good to all men, the Bible says, right? Do good means what? We do good. Find a way to do good. Doesn't always count for money for anything. It doesn't always cost us anything. But maybe just opening the door. Maybe just checking on a neighbor. Maybe if you're not able to cut the grass, just cut half the grass and tell them you come back and do the rest tomorrow. Maybe a phone call to somebody who doesn't get a lot of calls and visits. Maybe thinking about those in prison. Maybe deciding to just go to the hospital. Decide to go in somebody's room. You don't even have to know them. But you'd be surprised how many smiles you can put on their face by just saying, I just want to say, I was thinking about you, don't know you, but if I can do anything to help you. You'd be surprised how many opportunities that gives us to teach them the gospel. We got times, and we have those things, and it helps us to be holy. So let's look at some of the benefits of taking time to be holy. Number one, because you take time to be holy, you will be blessed beyond your wildest imagination. You'll find that your soul has a lot more peace and joy when you take time to be holy. You'll find that your strength is renewed. And that's what allows us to do what Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says. Those that wait on the Lord, you will run and not grow weary. Even though those around you, the young men, faint, you will run and not grow weary. Are you weary? Maybe, just maybe, you need to focus on a little bit more about being holy. It helps us to slow down. It helps us to take one at a time. It renews us. That's how we refill our cup. It overfloweth. Not just doing it. It's like a fountain that overflows. I always like to say, you know, our joy and peace and love should be so abundant in our life that it spills over into our saucer. Why? Because somebody needs to drink from your saucer. That's how we reach the world. Stop being stingy with it. Be willing to help folks with it, to let them know there's a God that says you can be holy, not meaning that you know every scripture in this book, but as you spend more time with God, you'll be surprised at how much more holy you come by just focusing on each and every day. Take time to be holy. It renews our strength. It also really, really, really causes us to realize how much God loves us. You know, we are worse enemies. We'll throw a pity party in a minute and invite everybody who will come and sit and listen. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have opportunities, not some benefit in that. But I'm just being honest. Nobody in here is this way. Have you ever been around somebody that until you talk to them, you was fine? They have a way of draining your joy. You gotta protect that. And it may not be their intention. That's just, it oozes out of them. I'm like, I wasn't feeling bad till I talked to so-and-so. Why am I upset? I was fine before I met them. That's the people in this world. They're that way. But when you... That's a good one, Grady. But when you realize how much God loves you, you want to be even more like Him. And that's one of the things that motivates us to be more like Him. We start to really understand how much God loves us. We start to really gravitate towards it. We start to really realize because God loved us so much that I'm going to share it with those in the world. You know, if your love is running low, just take time to be holy. And you may say, how does that work? Because you draw closer to God. And as we're talking about on Wednesday night, we're to be the light of the world. You're to be a prism to everybody else. Through the light that Christ shines to you, you ought to spread your light to red, black, blue, gray, brown, orange, polka dot, paisley, doesn't matter. Because that prism shines on everybody. It's one of the ways that you can really eradicate racism. Bathing in God, basking in God's love, and realizing that God loves us all. It's a manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. This fruit produces love. And in closing, we talked about this morning how Paul says, all things lost for Christ. Our goal is to be more Christ-like. When you decide to be holy, almost by default, you become way more Christ-like than you've ever been before in your life. Why? Because when you become holy, what happens is that thing called sin, you develop less and less a taste for it. You start to see sin the way God does. You don't wink at it anymore. And maybe, just maybe, that means that you got it all solved in your life. But the earlier and the more we learn to see sin the way God does, the more of a chance we have to be like Christ. The ultimate goal of discipleship is to be like Jesus. It's explained by Jesus and it's foreordained by God in Romans 8:29. A transformation that's noticed by others without you doing anything else but living it. And you can really tell if somebody's trying their best to be holy. And it's not based on those things I started out my lesson with. It's not based on the fact that I'm uttering some unknown gibberish. It's not based on the fact of I wear a robe and a backwards collar everywhere I go. It's not based on the fact of me doing certain things and performing certain acts when the church comes together. It's about other folks seeing it because they're living it. You know, I always like to say, you know, if you've been around anybody in your life any amount of time and they can't tell something's different about you, church, that's a problem. They may can't put their finger on it. They may can't grasp it. But they ought to know that we've been with Jesus. That's what happened in Scripture. Once they were with Jesus, especially the resurrected Christ, they were never the same again. And those folks that they went back out to, whether it be family, friends, or enemies, could tell For they were with the master. They were unlearned men talking about the apostles. But folks could tell they had been with Jesus. Can the folks tell that you've been with Jesus by how you live your life? Take time to be holy. His likeness, that's what it's all about. It is the direct result of spending time with Jesus. As we see with Peter and John, as I said before, in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It is the result of giving yourself over to such things and making them a priority in your life. But it also prepares us for greater service. If you ever want to do more for God, it must start with a jealous zeal, a fervent zeal to be holy. That's what it starts with. It starts with that. But we don't want that because oftentimes it requires us to change some things. See, God didn't come for us to stay the same. He came to literally turn stuff upside down. But you know how sometimes it is when we don't want folks to see. Don't touch that. God touched this, but don't touch that. Don't bother that. You might see something you don't want to see over there, Lord. That's not the mindset we should have. Or sometimes it's time for him to get rid of some stuff in our life. And we hold on to it like it's the last thing in the world. Sometimes God needs to do some house cleaning in our spiritual lives. Take time to be holy. For we will serve God also. It helps prepare us for that one day when we serve him around the throne forevermore. See, God didn't just say holy, be holy because he's holy. He didn't just say it and leave it at that. There's a reason why he says that to us. Because this is the preparing ground for us to one day be around the throne of God forever. Can you imagine that? I don't know about you. Now I know it's going to be different. I don't know how. Scripture gives us a glimpse of it. But can you imagine being in heaven? It's closing out. Being in heaven and looking at your watch, talking about, Lord, it's about time for me to go home, ain't it? My favorite TV show coming on. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody wanting to do anything other than that? Can you imagine that? You know what? I done spent too much time today. We got to come back for evening service too? You mean to tell me that's all I'm going to do is worship God? I can't do what I want to do, go fishing and nothing? I can't go shot. Yes. That's the sad part about it. If that's their mindset, how in the world are they going to make it in? If we can't do what he asked us to do down here, I'm going to bring this on Sunday morning because that's when folks need to hear it. How in the world do you think you're going to worship God when there is no clock? How is that going to happen? Help me understand. I'm from Willard. You got to help me. I'm borrowing Grady stuff. You're going to have to help me understand that. You say you love God and he's most important, but you don't want to spend no time with him? You're going to have to help me with that one, brother Grady. OPM, I quote you for it. Sing a little bit of change if I get some money off of it. But taking time to be holy, this is a goal that we can all improve upon. Yes, sir, this is a goal that we can all approve upon. Can anybody be, or have you reached your holy quota, holiness quota? If so, then we need to change it and move that bar, that goal in our life. We can never do enough. We can never be enough. We can never spend enough time with God. But often do we try to limit it. And that's the problem that these folks are going to have. And I think, just think, if I was God, that would be on my final exam. You know, in certain things in life, like I don't know too much. I know pilots have to get a certain amount of flying hours, right? Don't know where they are. Where you get your pilot's license. I wonder we're going to make it in because of that. Now, I don't think it's going to be a quarter, but I'm just thinking in my normal everyday mind. God looks at a register and said, you know what? You say you love me, you want to spend heaven, but you have spent exactly 6 hours and 32 minutes in the last year spending time with me. How you going to make that leap? This is going to be too big of a leap for you because I think you wouldn't be happy here in heaven. Just my own simple mind thinking of it that way. Oh, my goodness. Taking time to be holy realizes, helps you realize that all things are truly lost for Christ. So make sure we take time to be holy in our lives. Don't just waste it. Don't just run through the motions. When we crack open God's word, that's a chance to realize that God is speaking through you through his word, and we communicate back with him, because communication is a two-way street, through our prayers, through our serving him. We show our love and devotion to him. When we pray, don't pray like nobody's hearing it on the other end. Not some vain prayers that to be seen of men. Your prayers and our prayers are going before the very throne of heaven. That's awesome. And you don't need to go through me either. Ain't that beautiful? That's beautiful. It ain't that way in some places. You got to go through the Holy Father. That's a shame that folks don't read their Bible more than that. I read something the other day that just, I might have said it before. It just blew my mind. This is a member of the church kind of coming into play. And he was at a lectureship. Matter of fact, the lectureship they had, national lectureship they had in Greensboro this past year. And he said that preachers need to go back to wearing priestly robes. And he found more scripture wearing priestly robes for that than anything else. Now he said, just preachers now, which is a telltale sign is wrong, because we are the holy priesthood. So my question to him, I would have done it right then and there. Would that mean everybody get to wear them? Because he said, no, just the preachers. They need to put the three chairs back up in the top. They need to have the iced tea or Kool-Aid and iced tea. And the preacher needs to sit in the middle. Because that's what we are missing in the Lord's church. Now, he said that. If you don't believe it, I'll let you listen to the CD I got it on. And I'm sitting here like, what is wrong with people? He abolished that. He's our high priest, and we're all priests. So we're able to go before God ourselves and make our request known to him. Take more time to be holy. And I had to start with just turning your whole life upside down. You'd be surprised how just stealing maybe 5 or 10 extra minutes a day. Start with that. It'll make a difference in your walk with God. That's what my goal is. I want to do it in increments. I want to do more. I want to spend more time. And eventually I'll get to where I want to be, but then guess what I'm going to do next time? I'll raise the bar even more, because I'm never going to get enough. Take time to be holy. You'll benefit. The church will benefit. The work of the Lord will benefit. And it will prepare you for heaven better than anything else in this world. What must we do to be saved? We must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of our sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. That places in the Christ Jesus makes us new creatures. From time to time, sin wins, and we're not as holy as we should be. That is the time to take it to God in repentance. Because that's the thing that gives us all a chance to continue to be more holy. If that was not the case, knowing that we still sin every day, none of us could be holy. And if it was not possible, God wouldn't have put it in his holy word when he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we know it's possible. We know it's possible. Let's work towards it and see the benefits for ourselves and for the body of Christ. Let us stand, have a verse of a song. If you'd like to put on Christ in baptism, request special prayer.